You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Aura Sikula. She's in Stockholm right now. Aura, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, and thank you for inviting me.
So Aura, to begin with, I know you just opened up a big show. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're currently working on as a curator, the show that just opened, and your role in that show?
Exactly, yeah. We just opened last week the exhibition called Ordets Akt, The Act of the Word, here in Stockholm at the Kulturhuset, the Culture House, which is one of the leading cultural institutions in the country. And it's an exhibition celebrating world's oldest Freedom of the Press Act, which is legislated here in Sweden 250 years ago. And this show is, I would say, it's a combination of cultural history, the historical perspective, the media and press perspective, obviously, but then also contemporary art. And we had quite a large-scale publication for the show, and then we're hosting also a talks program taking place every Monday. And what is interesting about this exhibition is really that it's really tackling this very global and prevailing issue of the freedom of the press and what that entails, or how that translates into like individual lives, not only the media perspective, so to say. So the show is also going further during the summer. It will go to Almedalsveckan, which is the biggest political event in Sweden. And after that, it will go to the Gothenburg Book Fair. So for me, this is, I would say, it's quite a new way to work within such a context that it's, well, I wouldn't say political, but it's engaged in socially in a new way that I haven't done before.
And tell me a little bit more about that, because that's such an interesting topic to explore here in the United States. You know, it's certainly under siege. You know, the idea of freedom of the press is enormously important. And I was just reading today, someone was saying that that because the United States kind of bullies the press and punishes whistleblowers, you know, so to speak, is why we got something like WikiLeaks, because reporters don't have access to the information that they once did. How do the artists that you've chosen explore those issues is what I'm curious about. It sounds like such a political and academic idea on one hand. So how did the artists explore that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, curatorially, it's a fascinating topic to work with, and also because it is so universal. But then at the same time, it is almost impossible to really try to say something that is relating to every single one of us, basically. But because this is really a celebration of the Swedish legislation, we have this kind of like historical context outlay that we've done together with the Royal Library, the researchers at the Royal Library. But then, because it is so thoroughly laid out, I wanted to place that in an international context, because it is obviously a question that is either, how should I say? Well, it's not so, oh, let's put it this way. It's actually only in Sweden or in the Nordic countries that we still can talk about some sort of an freedom of the press. And this is, I know, this is very provocative to say that it's so extreme, but the conditions are really narrowing in many of the European Union countries even. So I invited artists from different countries that are tackling these issues currently. So, for example, there is Halil Altindere from Turkey, from Istanbul. There's Michael Behrs from the US, George Young from UK, Katarina Prekula from Poland. Then we have two Swedish artists, Christian Saldert and Carl Michael von Hauswolf. And then we also commissioned a piece by Tima Radia, who is a Russian artist. And again, like these countries, all of, if we think about Poland and Turkey and, like you say, the US and then Russia, for example, there are really prevailing issues to tackle and talk about.
And you said, you know, of course that, you know, other countries, and it's okay to be provocative and say anything you want, but that, you know, in Sweden it's one of the few places where you can really discuss this without being censored and in some way. Will that make it difficult for this show to travel? I mean, and will it travel to other places?
I would love to see it travel. I mean, it will travel in Sweden, but we haven't approached any other possible venues yet. But for me, like, because when it comes to such a freedom or liberty, I did, and like you were saying, it is also an academic and philosophical question. And because my background, I just finalized my PhD in analytical philosophy, so it is evident for me that I have to look into this also from a more philosophical and metaphorical perspective. So I was looking a lot into Emmanuel Levinas and his theories. He's written this fantastic book about called The Difficult Freedom. And he's really saying that, or what was very relevant to me when we think about this possibility and the potential that we have with the free word, how do we use that? It's not only a jurisdictional entitlement, but I see that we have kind of an ethical responsibility to use the free word in a way that is responsible, but also respectful.
And does that how does that differ, or does it differ from visual presentations? I mean, we're talking about the word and freedom of the press, freedom of speech, but that's freedom of expression, isn't it? Which pertains to all visual artists and writers as well, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. Yeah, I mean, it's extremely relevant when it comes to visual art. But I think that for me, like, this was exactly the perspective that I, or my entry to the to the topic with Emmanuel Levinas, that we, when we have this possibility to express ourselves exactly the way we want, exactly the way we decide to do, how do we do that in a way that it's still respectful towards others? Like, I really want us to consider that, not only take it for granted that we can do that, like, we can say anything, it's still legal, or, like, no one will charge me for aggressively insulting someone, for example, just to be, like, blunt about it. But I think that it's really this possibility that is now threatened in, like, so many countries, as we know, we should be more respectful towards it. We should be more, we should show respect to the fact that we still have this potential and this possibility.
So that's what seems to me to be, and maybe examples from the show can illuminate this or not, but what seems to be the difficult line, how do we be respectful without self-censoring? Can we make jokes about or expressions about other cultures that might take offense, or, you know, especially, you know, religious-oriented, provocations? It seems to be something that now artists are, and I imagine writers, are kind of self-censoring because that happens, and they're afraid of reprisal. How would you enter into that dialogue in terms of, you're right, there's a responsibility we have, but how do we know that we're not self-censoring? Because I think in the United States, that's probably happening all the time, that artists and writers are self-censoring because they know that certain work or expressions will not be met with, easily. So I guess I'm asking how you draw that line of what that means to be respectful.
I think that as a means of the self-expression, I don't consider pure provocation to be interesting. It doesn't have the it's just not interesting enough when it comes to pure content, I would say. So I think that it's really like you were talking earlier about the access. So I'm really also considering this accessibility towards the free word and how we, like, when it comes to visual art, how accessible it is, how can we how can we share and take part in the in encountering art? Now I'm talking very it's quite abstract, but I would like
to keep it abstract.
Also. Yeah.
So then, you know, in terms of maybe some examples from the show of how other artists approach this concept, if you can. I mean, you mentioned a number of artists, but can you explain how one of them approached this issue? Because what we also haven't talked about is, as you were saying, how this affects the individual. We are talking about kind of abstract and philosophical issues, but also perhaps you have an example of one of the artists in the show that moves the conversation towards how it affects us as individuals and access.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Totally. For example, the Polish Karolina Prekula, she has a video work called The Soup, and it's a play. It's an it's a play, I would say, where there is a group of artists who are discussing around a table. And that going into more detail, it's really, she's very, I would say, almost self-critically considering artist responsibility to act politically and socially. And in this video, we see a group of artists just talking about these issues without really doing anything about it. So I think what she's asking is that, okay, now that, you know, like you were talking, that artists have this possibility to express not only themselves, but tackle really complex and severe and interesting and politically engaging and so forth issues. But what is really done? It's not enough anymore maybe to throw out the question or only raise discussion, but can we really, when we work with art, can we really do something that has a difference?
And in it make a difference, you mean in an almost like transformative way in terms of an activism to actually engage the world politically and make a difference that way? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm also thinking like what Emmanuel Levinas wrote. He said that at the point when there is a political structure or society that starts to restrict our freedom, the only thing we can do, and it's really the only thing we can do, is to protest. But he's not, in my understanding, he's not talking about this kind of an classical activist aggressive protesting. But what how I would like to understand it is that he's calling for an intellectual protest. He's calling us to really consider the potential of the word, for example, and the potential and the possibility that we have, the actual power that we have when we use the word the right way.
And after this show, or while the show is up, what was the reaction to it? Was it, did it provoke at all, or stimulate questions from the viewers or the audience? Or is, you know, because you're in Stockholm, is this an issue that people embrace very very easily and feel I don't know, perhaps even good about, because you're so much better than the United States?
I would say that there is a very strong consensus. Of course, everyone can agree to the importance of the freedom of the press. And I think that when we were doing the publication part, we also had some international perspectives. And there's really, I think that in the publication, we were able to maybe raise up some clearer voices that were saying that maybe the situation in Sweden is not perfect. So, yeah, I mean, it's, even though we're saying that, okay, the situation is good, or that we can still talk about the freedom of the press or the freedom of expression, it's still not ideal. We still face, obviously, censorship and restrictions.
Right, and so that's something that, right, there's still so much room for conversation on, you know, and especially, I guess, with journalists, as I was mentioning in the beginning, with WikiLeaks, because if that's appropriate to mention, that's an example of the power of the word changing, you know, perhaps actions and certainly other words of leaders, you know, throughout the world.
completely. Yeah.
So, what would be next for you? What are you doing next? Or I know you're also working with the Artist Pension Trust. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. But is there another exhibit that you're also working on now, or other projects? I know you just finished your thesis, so you know, congratulations on your finishing your PhD in philosophy. What else will you be working on, or are you working on now?
I'm actually working on two different art fairs. I'm directing an art fair in Helsinki, and then I'm curating a section for a new art fair in London, and these both take place next autumn.
And the fair in Helsinki, what kind of a fair is that? Is it like the typical art fair, or how is that being curated?
The Art Helsinki fair, this is the first time that it's been done as an international event, and I would rather call it an event because it is actually, we're trying to build or we're building a format for the event that is more showcasing the art scene at large and not really the art market, I would say. That's the difference.
And lastly, and I know this is going to make me jealous and wish I was living in Stockholm, what is the Artist Pension Trust? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
The Artist Pension Trust, that is a very large initiative that has the Artist Pension Trust is a global initiative, actually, that is supporting the artistic practice by collecting art from artists and then creating these funds and, different collections that are curated by us curators. And then by so also, well, for me, the most interesting part with it is that it's really creating a new kind of a platform for artists also to present their work.
Exactly. And that's something that, is this operating everywhere? Is this also operating in the United States? And how can or should artists engage with this or be involved in the Artist Pension Trust?
Yeah, the Artist Pension Trust is a global fund. And it's really, it's a matter of, there is a massive curatorial committee. I'm a member of the committee, actually, I don't know how many we are now, but I would say, it's a large group of curators who invite artists, and then they are, they actually get involved for a very long term. So this fund is really for artists to engage with for about 20 years, the minimum.
And when you say about 20 years, you mean that this is, once artists are selected by the group, this is funding that allows an artist to sustain his or herself for 20 years and support their practice? Or no?
The system is so that the artist basically has a possibility to, the artist has a possibility to really guarantee some funding by donating artworks to a collection, but this donation is not really like giving away, but it's really like creating this creating a collection of his or her own, and then the fund of the Artist Pension Trust sells some of the work, and then this money comes in back to the artist. So it's a very interesting kind of an thinking when it comes to income and support artists financially.
Right. It's a sustainable, it's a way for artists, or one of the tools to help artists with a sustainable practice, essentially.
Exactly.
And artists are chosen by all the curators on their own? They're kind of nominated, or can artists apply or get involved directly?
Artists can, of course, they can contact any of the curators, but then it is a curator, for example, myself. I can initiate this contact with an artist and discuss about the possibility for them to take part of the, in the trust. And then once selected, it goes through a selection process. Then Artist Pension Trust signs an agreement that is for 20 years.
And in that 20-year agreement, it means there's a relationship with that artist over 20 years that is obviously up to the artist and the trust, but it involves the artist perhaps donating works and being supported by the potential sales of those works. Is that the main activity or over the course of the years that the
Exactly. But then at the same time, Artist Pension Trust has exhibition activities, and they obviously promote the artists that are in their collection. So it's also a very interesting platform for the artists to be involved, because they get this other kind of, like you're saying, sustainable structure that is really supporting their practice in different contexts, in exhibitions, in institutional loans, and so on.
So this model, in a way, is, I mean, it's dissimilar from a commercial model, really, but obviously there's sales and promotion involved here. In this model, is it what you'd call a non-profit model? In other words, the artists are getting most of the cost of the work being sold, or how does that work as opposed to what the commercial equivalent of this might be?
Yes. What is also interesting about the model is that it actually is very it has a solidarity. So when an artist is selected he or she is placed into a collection, and within the collection that has 250 artists, when a sale is done for any of the artists who is involved in the collection, artists gets a share, but then there is a share that is divided among all of the participants in the collection. So whenever any of the artists makes the sales, or the trust makes the sales for the artist, everyone gets a share.
Oh, I love that. That's a wonderful idea. That's really, of course, very different than the typical capitalist models here, which is, the kind of winner takes all, as opposed to what sounds to me like a little more of a socialist angle, that there's a type of sharing of success here.
Exactly, yes.
See, I knew I was going to be jealous when you told me about all this. that's such wonderful thinking and such great ideas for a model that we need more of in the United States and in many other places. So I'm so glad you're doing that and involved in that, Aura. Before we go, I just wanted to ask you, is there and I know you mentioned a book earlier, but I've been asking people, is there a book that you're currently reading that you want to share with us? And it could be the one you mentioned. It doesn't have to be on topic. Could be, a murder mystery. Could be anything. Is there a book you're reading now that you want to share with us?
Well, I mean, because it is so current and it really has given me a lot to think, I would totally recommend Emmanuel Levinas, The Difficult Freedom.
Thanks so much, and I'll put a link to that here as well. Aura, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.